International.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African club football. The spotlight will be shining Saturday on Cairo and Johannesburg, where decisive second leg matches will be played in the CAF Champions League semifinals. At the Al Salam Stadium in Cairo, reigning title holder Al Ahly, winner of a record 9 Champions League trophies, will host Esperance of Tunisia. And at the FNB Stadium in Johannesburg, the South African club Kaizer Chiefs will be at home against Wydad Casablanca of Morocco. Al Ahly and Kaizer Chiefs are both in good position to advance to the final after 1-0 road victories last weekend in Tunisia and Morocco, respectively. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the goal scorers in the first leg, Al Ahly's Mohamed Sharif and the Serbian Samir Nurkovic of Kaizer Chiefs. Sharif and Mohamed Ramdane of Esperance have each scored a tournament-leading 4 goals, while Nurkovic has scored 3 goals.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Helen Maroulis, the first American woman to win an Olympic wrestling gold medal, is packing her bags for Tokyo. Helen qualified for the Tokyo Olympics in the 57-kilogram weight class. The games officially opened July 23rd, but the men's and women's Olympic football tournaments kick off before then. The opening matches for the men are on July 22nd, and the women begin on July 21st. Great Britain is grouped with Chile, Canada, and host Japan in the Olympic women's football tournament. A former star player for Norway is the coach of Great Britain, as we hear now in this Olympic profile from VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The English Football Association confirmed Hege Riise as head coach of Team Great Britain for the Tokyo Games. Following the announcement, FA Director of Women's Football Sue Campbell joined Coach Riise for a video news conference, where Campbell told reporters Riise's experience as an Olympic champion was a key factor in choosing her to lead Britain in Tokyo.
That Olympic experience, all of the research shows us that people that haven't been to an Olympics before really struggle with their first Olympics, and that includes coaches. It is a unique and very different experience to a World Cup, for example. You know, it's essentially 26 World Cups of different sports happening simultaneously. The village itself is a different environment. And I think the fact that Hege has been there both as a player and a coach will really help her to prepare the team the very best she can.
Before becoming a coach, Riise was a midfielder for Norway and scored 58 goals in 188 appearances during her time with the national team. She won Olympic gold, first as a player in the Sydney Olympics in 2000 and again as assistant coach at London 2012. And now with a ticket to Tokyo, Riise is on course to become only the 5th woman in history to win 3 Olympic medals in the sport. Her experience gives her a unique perspective from both sides of the pitch, and she has some advice for the Lionesses of Great Britain going into this year's games.
To be careful enough between the games, not run out of gas, have the energy going into every game, and do whatever we can to have the days in between light, fun. So be like when the game is on, you are focused and you want to win, and in between it has to be some way relaxing but also focused when you need to, because you need to enjoy the ride as well.
Risa has enjoyed an impressive ride of her own. Along with her Olympic gold medals, she won the UEFA Women's Championship in 1993 and the World Cup for Norway in 1995. That same year, she was named World Player of the Year. Her career took her from the Norwegian League to the United States and then back to Norway, where she retired in 2006. Her biggest highlights were achieved while playing in big tournaments, and Risa says the upcoming experience at the Tokyo Games will enhance the careers of her players as well.
All the experience that the player get playing in big tournament is adding to their experience. And for the English player that go to the Olympics and will be going for the Euros, that's a major experience that they get. And even though the Euros is totally different tournament, but like everything you add to your experience bring you one step further. So I will say that this is a good tournament and experience going forward.
Great Britain are returning to the Olympics after they failed to qualify for Rio 2016. They'll be one of 12 teams taking part in the football tournament at the Tokyo Games. And when Risa was asked which team she's watching out for, the U.S. women's soccer team was at the top of her list.
As always, the U.S. will be a hard team to beat. History-wise, they won almost everything, but not so often the Olympics. So this is an opportunity that we will take. And of course, it's 12 teams, so it will be a competition every game that we play.
Risa was appointed alongside Canadian Rianne Wilkinson, who will serve as assistant coach for Great Britain. And as the two women prepare for the Tokyo Games, they will continue their interim roles as leaders for the England women's national team. And that is all from me for today and for the week. Back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And I hope you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Spotty greetings. This is Elizabeth Ayanacho, a Nigerian taekwondo athlete. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Elizabeth Ayanacho is also training for the Tokyo Olympics. And regarding Elizabeth, well, I made a royal on-air mistake on Thursday's show that needs a Sunny Side of Sports correction. I said Elizabeth is the first female taekwondo athlete for Nigeria to compete at the Olympics since Prince Dudu at the 2004 Athens Games. It's not Prince. It's Princess. Princess. Princess Dudu.
Hello, I'm Peter Clotty, the host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. This is one of the stories we'll be covering on Nightline Africa. Amnesty International is delighted the Burundian authorities have reduced the prison sentence of a human rights defender from 32 years to 1 year. Tune in. You'll be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Thanks, Peter. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In the National Basketball Association Western Conference Finals, the Los Angeles Clippers sailed past the visiting Phoenix Suns Thursday night. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us more.
The Clippers are within 2-1 of Phoenix after Paul George scored 27 points in their 106-92 win over the Suns.
We have to match their physicality. I thought we did that. We have to match their scrappiness. I thought we did that. And that's really the key. We can't allow this team to play harder than this.
George also had 15 rebounds and 8 assists to help L.A. win without Kawhi Leonard, who remained out with a sprained knee. Reggie Jackson added 23 points for the Clippers, who took control with the biggest run of the game, a 21-3 spurt that left them leading 71-56 in the third.
This team's just hungry. It's always hungry to get better. You don't know what the results are ever going to be, but I love our approach. I love the way we come out. We continue to fight. We continue to try to find ways to get it done. Collectively, and we've been fortunate enough to make it this far.
Suns guard Chris Paul made his series debut after coming out of COVID-19 protocol, finishing with 15 points and 12 assists.
The day I played is the night, you know what I mean? We didn't make shots. You could tell they had, a lot more energy. And I got to be better. I shot terrible, you know what I mean? I got to pick up the pace. We'll be ready game 4.
Game 4 is Saturday in Los Angeles. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Meanwhile, the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals resume later Friday night in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Bucks will host the Atlanta Hawks in Game 2 of that best-of-7-game series. The Hawks were victorious in Game 1 in Milwaukee, getting 48 points from guard Trae Young. In more NBA news, Kenya-born Ivy Owino gets fans of the Dallas Mavericks team moving to the beat at the American Airlines Center Arena in Dallas, Texas. Ivy, also known as Poison Ivy, is the official DJ of the Mavericks, and she recently was the sound and music director for the Basketball Africa League in Kigali, Rwanda. Prince Nesta caught up with DJ Poison Ivy in Kigali and asked her, how did you get your start as a DJ?
First and foremost, I'd be remiss if I didn't just acknowledge my faith and know that it is just by the work of God that, I am able to wake up every day and fulfill, some of my wildest dreams literally every single day. I mean, for those of you who know my story, I begun as a Dallas Mavericks ball girl from the ages of 12 to 18. I've worked in various capacities in sports. I went to Marquette University. That's where I begun as a DJ. I toured with Skylar Diggins-Smith. I was a Dallas Wings DJ for their inaugural season. And this will be my fifth season with the Mavericks. And, I think one thing that we can say about the power of sport is its capacity to unite people, right? From all walks of life. And so with every interaction, with every event, I've just always made sure to connect with different people, whether it's, players, personnel, vendors, like you just never know who might come in, handy, so to speak, in your life, or who you can lean on for opportunities and what have you. So I can definitely say I just, thank God that I'm able to have an easy time talking to people. But most importantly, the next step is you got to be able to tell people what you want, right?
You're an inspiration, not only to, women listening to this show right now, but, everybody who's on the continent of Africa and, at the global stage, you're totally an inspiration. What message do you have for women who are looking up to you?
Oh, man. First of all, I'm grateful for where I am, and I'm grateful for my journey this far, but also really recognize that I still have a long life to live and a long way to go. So along with that being said, my biggest advice is to not necessarily focus on just the now, try to take time frequently to listen to your own thinking and thoughts and, talk to the powers that be, the higher powers, but, equivalently, it's important to take time to sit down and listen, whether it's to other people, but whether it's the spirit, the Holy Spirit, and just in terms of, how it's guiding you to move and what have you. But other than that, try your best, your absolute best to maintain close proximity to those things that make you go. Internships, paid or not. I can't tell you how long, I worked in less than favorable in terms of economic gain, situations. But what I did know is that life is more than money, right? Life is more about just experiences. It's about connecting and connections with people. It's about, you know, learning new things, i.e. transferable skills. And, you know, then on top of that, it's also about teaching and sharing and caring, right?
Continue doing what you're doing because, you know, you keep on inspiring people like me and, you know, others, you know, to continue doing whatever they're doing. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the effort that we put in and the sacrifice and dedication, you know, that makes people succeed. And so I'm just looking at, you know, the Basketball African Tournament, coming back to that one. What do you think? What are your views in the tournament so far, the organization? And, you know, I tie that with your views on maybe possibly seeing a Women's Basketball African League tournament.
For sure. I mean, kudos to the league because, I mean, this is not an easy feat to pull off by any means. Like, logistically, the list of to-dos, you know, are very dense, you know. And mind you, this is a two-week, very compact, you know, season. We're currently in the playoff period. And so, you know, the stakes are a little higher, you know, or really a lot higher than they were before. So, you know, I think, and most importantly too, I definitely hope and pray that, you know, for the expansion of similar opportunities for women. And this is for obvious reasons, right? Like, you know, at the rate at which sport is growing, you know, I think it should grow, you know, equally. Hopefully, my prayer, my hope is that, you know, an announcement will follow regarding a women's league, you know, as soon as it's humanly possible. Also recognizing that what has been achieved thus far is huge. Yeah,
absolutely. J. Cole just left the bubble. I understand, you know, he signed like a 3-game contract or something. But, you know, He was there and you are a DJ. You enjoy his music. What are your thoughts, you know, on having such a multi-platinum artist playing for an African team in an African tournament?
I can't speak, you know, on his behalf, but it seemed knowing, having, you know, interviewed him and being a fan of his music, but also just knowing, you know, a little bit about his background and his ambitions background. This is something that he had always wanted to pursue, right? And so he said he's going to the league. He didn't say which league. And rightfully so, he came to this league, you know. And, you know, everybody, again, is entitled to their own opinion. But I'm just grateful for the visibility, you know, for the league. But also just to showcase that, you know, we can all unite around things that, you know, bring us all common joy, right? So for him, that was basketball. I think it's a very poignant example of how sport has the power to help us listen, help us learn, but also to unite us, right? So I hope that, you know, it was a little different because, again, we are observing, you know, bubble protocol. Right. But for the sake of just having an amazing opportunity to really just, again, have a lot of eyes on the league. Right. Good publicity. So I'm grateful for that from him for sure.
And I'm interviewing you at 3 a.m. in the morning. So I got to ask you the last question since, you know, you're going to bed. Sure. Stuff. What does this mean for the African continent? What does it mean for us as Africans?
I think that Africa is just a place with, you know, just beaming with potential, right? Tons of potential. And so what we need are more formal structures, systems, processes that are actually located on the continent, right? With the inception of something like the BAL, right? It's really cool to know that future players, you know, will have the option of whether they want to leave the continent or whether they can, or whether they can stay and accomplish the very same thing. You know what I mean? Right here. So I think it's great on all different fronts. I mean, again, this is a way to use sport as, you know, economic empowerment and just ultimately fortitude, like right out of the KICC. So yeah, definitely just, you know, happy to be able to, again, put on an event that equally represents all of us, both our interests and our differences.
That's Ivy Owino, also known as DJ Poison Ivy. And she spoke with Prince Nesta from Kigali, Rwanda.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Samson Omale joins us once again with another big package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We begin the wrap of this weekend's African sports action with the second leg of the continent's elite football club competition, the CAF Champions League. CAF Champions League surprise side Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa are on the verge of reaching the final on Saturday, thanks in part to the meteoric rise of goalkeeper Bruce Bavuma. A series of superb saves from the 26-year-old enabled the Johannesburg club to stun host Wydad Casablanca of Morocco 1-0 last weekend in the first leg of their semi-finals. Masakepe Masabani, South African sports reporter on Power FM in Johannesburg, speaks on the chances of Kaizer Chiefs.
They understand their limitations. They understand that they don't have too many ball players in their team. So they don't rely heavily on trying to keep the ball, because they know very well that possession football is not something that they can do at this point. So what they are mostly relying on is to play on the break. So they will have a very strong reinforced defense and then have a good midfield and just have one or two strikers up top. And I don't expect that they will play with two strikers in this coming fixture.
In Cairo, title holders Al-Hakli of Egypt will be hoping to consolidate their 1-0 advantage over Esperance of Tunisia last weekend at the Al-Salam Stadium in Saturday's late kick-off. Jeru Udo is a veteran Nigerian sports historian. He speaks on the likely finalists after Saturday's double fixture.
I will put my money on Al-Ahli getting to the final because the continuity is there, the organization is there, the experience is there. And they have also a coach that is hungry. Don't forget that they won the bronze at the Club World Cup that was played earlier on this year. So that makes them a very, very experienced and determined side. So for that game, I should give it to them to qualify. But for the game between Wydad Athletic and Kaizer Chiefs, well, like I said, it's very close to call. But I want to give the final to the two North Africans, talking about Al-Ahli and Wydad Athletic Club. But then, of course, Kaizer Chiefs are no pushover. And having the backing that two South African clubs won it in the past, 1995, Orlando Pirates won it. 2016, Mamelodi Sundowns won it. So that means they also have a history and pedigree on their own side. But they are playing against a side that is very, very organized, that also knows how to play in this competition. So if you insist, I will give the final to Al-Ahli and Wydad Athletic Club of Morocco.
Staying with football news, the president of the Federation of Ugandan Football Association, Moses Magogo, was nominated earlier this month ahead of the August election for a third time unopposed. The FUFA Electoral Committee had confirmed that only incumbent Mr. Magogo returned the nomination forms of the three aspirants. Moses Magogo is also a member of parliament in Uganda. He was first elected into office in 2013 and was successfully re-elected in 2017 for a second term. Now that he's all but certain to be elected for a third term, he has been speaking on his goals and programs for Ugandan football.
Goal number one, to make professional football in this country, especially the top leagues, be able to employ Ugandans as players, as staff, and be able to pay them. Second goal, take the game to every homestead. The third one is excellence of performance of our national and representative teams in international football.
And now to Zambia, where 30 participants are currently attending a 38-day CAFC coaching course aimed at upgrading their qualifications in line with modern football practices and developments. The course, hosted by the Football Association of Zambia and handled by elite CAF instructor Sunday Kayuni, serves as a platform to evaluate coaches and sharpen their skills in the art of coaching. 2012 AFCON winner and former Chipolopolo of Zambia midfielder Noah Chivuta is one of the 30 coaches attending the CAFC coaching course in Lusaka, which ends on July 15th. He speaks of his experiences and advantage in attending the course so far.
Playing football and the experience you'll be acquiring as a footballer is different from than going through the course itself. You have to know it happened to the best players, like the best players like Zidane. When he finished playing football, he thought like he can just go into start coaching, but he didn't have any budget, so he was told to go and do the courses. So that's the right path I'm taking. I just need those qualifications and have the certificate so that it qualifies me to sit on the bench. So far, so good. Everything is related to football. I'm learning something, which is new, something I used to do, but now with the knowledge and learning, it's something which is a little bit different. It's interesting. I'm saying, you know what, education is power, so the more we acquire this kind of knowledge, it will empower me, like even the experience of playing, winning the AFCON and whatever, it will just like up my name and my CV.
Away from football now, the 13th edition of the 2023 All-African Games is to be hosted by Ghana. The construction of a new stadium, the Accra Bartiam Olympic Standard Stadium, is ongoing, but with the game scheduled for 2023, there have been speculations that Ghana may lose the hosting rights to the events as a result of preparations and infrastructure on ground. Chairman of the local organizing committee for the games, Dr. Kwaku Ofosu Asare, has assured that facilities will be constructed before the competition begins.
There are a lot of things you do behind the scene that people don't realize that you're working. So all these things are going on. We have every belief that come 2023, we have some facilities at Bortiman to have the games. And we also believe that if we're able to construct some facilities at Bortiman and leverage on the others, Bortiman will be opening up. We want to let Ghanaians benefit from we hosting the games as Ghanaians in terms of business, in terms of employment creation, in terms of the spin-off. Bortiman will be opened up. Rose, Waterview, the young ones will also have the opportunity to realize their dreams. You know, sports is a huge industry, and we think that come 2023 will be a very good opportunity for our young ones, be a very good opportunity for our businesses, will be a very good opportunity for the promotion of African unity, will be a very good opportunity for us to enhance the infrastructure that we have in the country.
And to East Africa, where the World Rally Championship, which began on Thursday in Kenya, is making a return to the East African country after a 19-year wait. Notorious for its rough and rugged rushes across the savannah, the race fell off the world circuit in 2002 due to the concerns over safety, organization, and finances. But on Thursday, President Uhuru Kenyatta performed the flag off of the World Rally Championship, and he had these words to say about the rally.
In 2013, I made a pledge to my fellow citizens that we would bring the safari rally back home. And I also promised that I would return the safari rally to its position as one of the International Automobile Federation's and the World Rally Championship's toughest rallies. This goal has materialized 9 years later into the event that we are witnessing today. Let us all enjoy this charged and colorful event, which I hope will be ingrained in our common psyche for many years to come.
The Safari Rally's planned return last year was aborted because of the coronavirus pandemic, which caused supporting events and saw Kenya block international arrivals, preventing foreign drivers from attending. Maxine Wahome, a rally driver, and her navigator, Chantel Young, will be bringing the women representation to life in a male-dominated sport.
So I started off with bikes, and I've always wanted to transition into cars. So I'm excited for it. I'm very excited, actually. There's being also the only ladies crew. Excited, looking forward to meeting all the international drivers. And being with them, it's my first rally, my first safari. Excited to be with them.
You know, you're representing women and being the only all-female crew in the whole rally. I think, yeah, it's a lovely feeling to show that women can be involved in it as well. Of course, you've got to have the interest in it first. So I had the interest of it, and then I actually had some friends, and my own father as well helped me learn, and that's pretty much it. And I learned as you go through every rally differently, you learn different things each time.
And good luck to the all-female crew of Maxine Wahome and Chantal Young in the Safari Rally Kenya 2021. And thanks to Samson O'Malley for another extra spicy sports package. And that wraps up the June 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.